Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here today with Will Graylin, who is the CEO of Loop. Hi, Will. Thanks for joining me today.
My pleasure.
So, Will, more exciting news. I feel like this is coming fast and furiously. So exciting to hear the news of yet another strategic investment in Loop, this time by Visa. So congratulations on that, and thanks for spending a few minutes to give us the scoop on what that strategic investment means for Loop and for Visa. So let's get started. So tell me again, how much was it? Just kidding. I know you can't say. I know. I just thought I'd try to trip you up in your euphoria for being so excited. Let's start by talking about the implications of this investment for Visa. And I'm curious because I have a couple of observations about Visa and their strategic investments and the mobile commerce space in general. I think first off, they've been pretty quiet. They haven't really made a lot of investments since the new CEO, Charlie Scharf, came into the organization. And they've obviously made some very strong commitments over the years to EMV and NFC contactless for in-store payments. So naturally, I'm very curious to know why Loop and why this really as kind of their first significant investment in mobile commerce.
So I think the primary reasons for making the investment in Loop is really the differentiated solution itself. I think Visa by itself has always been committed to innovation in the payment space. It's really a matter of looking for the right solution that can scale. And from talking to folks at Visa, they are very committed to delivering solutions that can work worldwide. And one of the biggest problems that has hindered mobile payments in the past has been the lack of acceptance at the point of sale. And they have had a lot of experience trying to move merchant acceptance to new payment types. And we're going through that right now, of course, with EMV and NFC as well. But that is a very hard and long process. And Loop has broken through this last inch barrier by putting a solution that can be accepted in existing merchant point of sale systems with zero change to the hardware or software. And that creates the type of consumer experiences that Visa is looking for, as well as their card issuers and merchants are looking for. So from a consumer experience standpoint, number one, being able to have a new payment solution, this mobile payment solution, to work at vast majority of merchants is critical. Without that, it's very hard to change consumer behavior. So I think that particular breakthrough is a major one. The second point is the ability to have this solution embedded very cost-effectively into many different devices, whether it's handsets or accessories or fobs or cases, wearables. The ability to have these things embedded even into a handset for less than $1 is a scalable solution. And they're looking for scale and scale worldwide. And the last point, and certainly not the least, is the ability to have a more secure transaction and delivering higher levels of security beyond static card and provisioning those onto the user's mobile devices, but being able to deliver dynamic cards and tokenization, hardware security, with cryptograms that can be verified on every transaction, effectively EMV-like security. When we show that we can deliver this kind of security over the existing infrastructure of point of sale, then that is also another real positive thing that we're delivering to the entire ecosystem for issuers, for merchants, and and payment networks like Visa alike.
So Will, you brought up another question that I wanted to ask about this. So Visa is obviously very committed to tokenization, and they want to play a major role in defining that standard. How does your technology sync up with their vision of tokenization?
So Visa is certainly very committed to tokenization as another form of securing the cardholder information. They've already done that, and they're doing that with EMV security and hardware-like tokens that are generated by the chip. And now they're looking at cloud-based tokenization and, with tokens that are generated by the vault and delivered through a variety of mechanisms. So we're certainly working closely with Visa and looking at their tokenization specifications. But the most important thing is we don't see ourselves as just a particular methodology, but really working closely with Visa to come up with the right overall security solution, not just for card-present physical payments, but also for card-not-present remote payments. And that's something that we are very keen to deliver to the market overall, and we're working closely with Visa to achieve those goals.
So Will, I want to ask a practical question as, with my consumer hat on. So I'm a consumer, and I have a handset. And I have a handset that has NFC enabled, and I'm at one of those few locations today that actually takes NFC. But I have a loop-enabled charge case, which is the form factor that exists today. And as I'm walking down Main Street, I encounter a number of merchants that have the traditional MagStripe terminals. How does the phone know what to do?
So it's not really up to the phone. It's more so up to the consumer. And the MST technology, magnetic secure transmission technology, can be perfectly compatible in a application or on the same device to coexist with other payment types, whether it's NFC or whether it's barcodes. And it's really the consumer themselves choosing which payment tender type and which payment method that they want to present to the merchant. And now part of that is going to depend on whether the merchant themselves, A, accept that payment method. If they have a NFC-based terminal and you can have an application and you want to choose to use NFC, you can. If they have a barcode solution to read your barcode, then between the merchant and the consumer, for that particular location, they might choose to use the barcode. But I think what makes MST interesting is that the consumer can choose to use the LoopPay MST solution at just about every merchant today. Over 90% of them already can accept the MagStripe cards. And because they can accept the MagStripe cards, they should be able to accept MST. So for a consumer, I think they would follow their patterns. And if they're expecting to swipe a card instead of swiping, they could use MST. And if they're expecting to use NFC or another payment form, then that they would have to establish that rapport between them and the merchant on why they would use NFC or a barcode, much like they go to Starbucks. They could still use their barcode application. But I think, by and large, because everybody accepts MagStripe cards today for a form of payment, MST can be used primarily to replace the MagStripe. We believe that MagStripe is an older technology that should be replaced. It's static. It resides only on a piece of plastic. And we think that by securely storing content in the chip and transmitting them, and even transmitting them in dynamic card form makes a lot more sense. And that's the wave of the future for mobile payments.
That's really interesting because, I mean, as we all know, when consumers get into the habit of doing something, whatever that habit is, today it's swiping a card, and in the future it is going to be using the phone, it's very hard to move consumers away from something that they're used to something that is new. And it will be interesting to see how this plays out as consumers with now what could very well be a massive distribution effort through the Visa network of issuers of the Loop solution, getting used to using their phone at many, many, many more places today than they could use an NFC contactless transaction, and then having to move to something else when those terminals become enabled. It will be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, the consumer has to choose. And, switching from one habit to another habit is not easy, but what we are seeing is that as long as it's widely accepted, and ubiquitous acceptance is an absolute key for consumers to switch to a different method of payment. But the consumer should have the choice, and so should the merchants.
Yep. So last question. I would presume that Visa's interest is stimulated by the interest of its issuers, who are obviously excited about the possibility that Loop provides them for their customers. Without disclosing names, of course, give us a sense of what you're hearing from the issuers as they've been exposed to the Loop solution.
The issuers have been actually very positive with the Loop solution. Once they fully understood, and we certainly are very open about how our security mechanisms work and how we are not allowing people to skim cards into their own container and their own devices. We take a lot of different security measures to bind the device to a valid account and then to further validate for each card that they're loading by themselves that it matches the account. Otherwise, we reject the load. And how we, you know, fully encrypt the data, comply with PCI and a level one PCI to we're a level one PCI certified TPP, and all the security measures that we take have been, the issuers have been very positive to see that we do that. Obviously, we're from the payment industry, and we've been doing this for a very long time. And so what they're most excited about seeing is seeing that they can provision their cards remotely to their card issuers' mobile devices, and that they can provision not only static cards, but also dynamic tokenized cards and provide higher levels of security right off the bat that can be accepted universally today just about everywhere and in just about every country. So it allows them to provide better security and provide a better consumer interaction through mobile. And the fact that we're talking to them about exposing the platform itself through an SDK such that even their own applications and mobile banking applications can leverage the solution is also a very positive point. So for us, we are a container and a conduit and really a mobile payment platform solution to support the ecosystem. And I think the card issuers see that, and it's a practical solution that works and works today. And the fact that we're getting handset OEMs, device OEMs, and providing more compelling and lower cost accessory devices to support this ecosystem is also very encouraging to the card issuers. So, we're getting positive responses from just about any issuer that has actually opened a kimono and talked to us. and not just in this country, but around the world, we have card issuers that are interested in our solution for their customers.
Well, I think, you know, the point that you make about remote provisioning, that just makes so much sense. I've never understood why that hasn't been more the protocol for populating, you know, these digital wallets that, are network enabled, you know, either through Visa or the other networks. It just seems like such the logical thing to do. But Will, thanks for taking a few minutes to give us the scoop on yet another really exciting development for Loop, and congratulations again on the strategic investment. Look forward to catching up about the next one, which, according to the press release, is imminent.
Well, we will have more good news to share, and what we've developed is really exciting for the industry as a whole. And so this is just the very beginning, Karen, and we look forward to sharing that with you and your listeners and your readers. And until next time.
Excellent. Until next time. And everyone who comes to summer school is going to be eligible to get a charge case. So that's very exciting. So everyone will have the chance to feel it and touch it and see it and experience it. So thanks for your generosity for that as well. Will, thank you very much. We'll see you soon.
My pleasure. Bye, Karen.
Bye.